Blackstone Audio presents Mars Life by Ben Bova. To Barbara, my favorite columnist, to Maria and Mike Cody, my favorite editors, and to the memory of Carlton S. Kuhn, an early victim of political correctness. I do not feel obliged to believe that the same God who has endowed us with sense, reason, and intellect has intended us to forego their use. Galileo Galilei. Book 1. Dying Time. Listen to the wisdom of the old ones. The red world and the blue are brothers, both born of father-son. Separated since birth, bombarded by fiery sky demons, they found their own paths through time and space. The blue world grew large and rich, deep with water and teeming with life. The red world, farther from father-son, smaller, colder, also bore life. For a while. The sky demons returned to both brother worlds, howling, burning, destroying with terrifying hammer blows. Many creatures of the blue world died under their mindless fury. On the red world, almost all life was annihilated. Almost all. Man-maker brought the people to the blue world, where in time they flourished. Strangest of all, Coyote, the trickster, led the people back to the red world. In time. Tithonium Base, morning. Carter Carlton woke from a troubled sleep. The vague memory of a dream faded in his mind even as he tried to recall it more clearly. Something about the university and the Board of Regents' kangaroo court back on Earth. Better forgotten, he told himself as he pulled the thin blanket off his legs. Better buried in the deep bosom of the ocean, like Shakespeare said. As he sat up on his narrow bed, the aroma of brewing coffee wafted into his cubicle. With it came the nasal twanging of some country and western song. Damned cowboys, he muttered, planting his feet on the floor. Then he grinned inwardly. Those cowboys have doctorates in geology and biochemistry, he reminded himself. Officially, the base was named in memory of the late Darrell C. Trumbull, the Boston financier who had donated a considerable share of his personal fortune to the exploration of Mars. But everyone called it Tithonium Base, situated on the floor of the Tithonium Chasma section of the 4,000-kilometer-long Valles Marineris, the immense Grand Canyon of Mars. The floor was radiant heated, but still it felt cold to Carlton's bare feet. Not as cold as outside, he thought. A glance at the weather readout on the digital clock by his bedside showed the outside temperature hadn't quite reached 90 below zero yet. Morning on Mars. Carter Carlton still felt thoroughly out of place among the scientists and technicians who made up the personnel of the Tithonium Chasma base. He was older than any of them, gray-haired and getting pudgy despite his daily toil at the dig. The only anthropologist at the base. The only anthropologist on Mars. The only anthropologist within some 100 million kilometers, for that matter. Another day, he said to himself, grabbing his towel and toiletries. No, another sol, he corrected. Here on Mars, they're called sols, not days. Whatever, he muttered as he trudged barefoot across his cubicle to the door of the common lavatory. The Village. In his condo in Albuquerque, Jamie Waterman dreamed also. He knew it was a dream, yet the Navajo side of him also knew that dreams reveal truths hidden during the waking day. The village stood before him, sturdy, dried brick dwellings 3 and even 4 stories high. The street was unpaved, of course, nothing more than hard-packed dirt. The sunlight felt warm and good on his shoulders, and Jamie realized that he was wearing nothing more than an old checkered shirt, faded denims, and his well-scuffed boots. No spacesuit. The villagers looked strange. Very different from Jamie. Why not, he asked himself, after all, they're Martians. Jamie walked among the Martian villagers unnoticed, unseen. They paid no attention to him as they scurried on their daily tasks. I'm just a ghost to them, he realized. I'm invisible, unseen. Then he recognized his grandfather, Al, striding along the bare dusty street toward him, wearing his best black leather vest and his broad-brimmed hat with a silver band circling its crown. Ya-te! Grandfather Al called out the old Navajo greeting. Grandfather! Jamie called to him, astonished. But you're dead! Al grinned widely at him. Nah, that was a mistake. I've been right here, waiting for you. Jamie laid a hand on his grandfather's shoulder. He was as solid as the stone fetish of a bear Al had given his grandson so many years ago. Jamie still carried it with him wherever he went. You're really here? Jamie felt tears welling in his eyes. Long as you want me to be, said Al. And this village? This is the way it was? Nah, Al said. This is the way it's gonna be. Then he added, Go with beauty, grandson. Tithonium Base, the cafeteria. By the time Carter Carlton had dressed and come out into the open central area of the base's main dome, bright sunlight was streaming through the dome's curving walls. Overnight, a polarizing electric current turned the plastic walls opaque to keep the base's interior heat from escaping out into the frigid Martian night. By day, the current was turned off and the walls became transparent to allow warming sunshine in. Sunshine always made Carlton feel better. That's one advantage that Mars has, he said to himself as he headed for the cafeteria, off on the far side of the open area. There hasn't been a cloudy day here in millions of years, except for the dust storms. The cafeteria was completely self-service. If you wanted eggs for breakfast, you cracked open the plastic package of powdered eggs and fried them yourself on one of the hand-sized skillets hanging over the grill. Staff members took turns cleaning up after each meal. It was perfectly ordinary to see a tenured professor of microbiology loading the dishwasher or sponging down the tables. This early in the morning, the scrubbing robots were still scouring the tile floor. One of the squat, round little turtles was buzzing down the edge of the cafeteria counter. It stopped 10 centimeters before Carlton's loafer-clad feet. It beeped impatiently. "Go around me, stupid," Carlton muttered. The robot dutifully maneuvered around his feet and resumed its route along the counter's edge. The grill still bore the same closed-for-maintenance sign that had been there the day before. This place is going to seed, Carlton grumbled to himself. The bakery odor of fresh toast tempted him, but instead he chose a bowl of cold cereal and poured reconstituted milk into it. As he was reaching for the fresh raspberries grown in the greenhouse in the adjoining dome, he heard, Dr. Carlton? Turning, he saw it was one of the junior technicians. The name tag on her shirt read McManus. She was the base's only nanotechnician. Doreen, he replied, smiling the way he used to do in his classrooms. She had lovely, thickly curled auburn hair, but it was cropped close in a strictly utilitarian style. Her face was oval, with the large, shy eyes of a waif. She was almost Carlton's height, but so thin and bony that Carlton wondered if she were bulimic. Instead of standard-issue coveralls, she wore a mannish long-sleeved shirt and creaseless slacks of pearl gray. Do you mind if I join you? She asked, unsmiling. Her voice was low but sweet. Carlton imagined she was probably a good singer. Mezzo-soprano, most likely. He saw that she was carrying a tray that held only a mug of fruit juice and a slice of toast. Nothing more. The toast looked burnt at that. I'd be glad of the company. It was still early enough that only a few of the tables were occupied. Voices murmured. The intercom speakers purred soft rock music. Carlton picked an empty table and put his bowl of cereal down. Once she was settled in the chair on his right, Doreen McManus asked, Are you going outside again today? Carlton groused, Are you going to twist my arm again? Her expression grew even more serious. Dr. Carlton, you simply call me Carter, please. When you call me Dr. Carlton, it makes me feel 150 years old. Carter, then, she said, with the beginnings of a smile. And you are going to twist my arm again, aren't you? That hard shell suit of yours is awfully old. It worked.